The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
Not exactly cause for celebration. I'm Jeremy Scott. 1 million people in the U.S. have now died from COVID-19. The White House flag is flying at half staff to mark the somber milestone. During a virtual global COVID summit, President Joe Biden said everyone's still feeling the effects of this virus more than 2 years after it began.
Now is the time for us to act. We almost do more. We must honor those we have lost by doing everything we can to prevent as many deaths as possible.
The CDC has put out its new county-by-county map, and only one county in Ohio is in the yellow, that being Lawrence County down on the Ohio River. Every other county is in the green. Ohio's total death toll from COVID stands at 38,550. From the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, this is the report from yesterday. Kelly McDaniels of Daytona Beach, Florida, was traveling south on Hickory Street when she attempted to turn east onto Orange Street. McDaniels went left of center and struck a vehicle being operated by Amber Locklear of Coshocton. Jennifer Nelson of Newcomerstown rear-ended a vehicle being operated by Michael Fischak of Poland, Ohio, on U.S. Route 36. And Kirk Harper of Millersburg was traveling northbound on State Route 83 when he went off the right side of the roadway, striking the guardrail. Complaints: a Coshocton female reported a domestic incident in the 500 block of Wilson Avenue. A zoning complaint was received in the 500 block of South 7th Street. A Coshocton female reported the theft of a vehicle in the 1100 block of Chestnut Street. A Coshocton woman reported her storage unit had been broken into, and Menage Ray of Cleveland was traveling on State Route 715 near County Road 20 when he drove into high water. From the West Lafayette Police Department, at 1243 a.m., an officer found an unconscious male in the 400 block of East Main Street. After further investigation, it turned out the male was driving and got tired, so he pulled over to rest and checked out okay. At 7:57 a.m., an officer assisted Coshocton County Sheriff's Office with a stolen vehicle on County Road 16. That's still under investigation. At 12:22 p.m., an officer handled a civil complaint in the 200 block of East Railroad Street. The two parties were advised to handle it in a civil matter. At 3:43 p.m., an officer did a follow-up in the 100 block of East Russell Avenue in reference to a prior case. At 7:45 p.m., an officer assisted Coshocton County Sheriff's deputies with a fight call in the 51,000 block of County Road 16. Throughout the day, officers initiated three traffic stops within the village. The number of people applying for initial unemployment benefits in Ohio nationwide ticked up slightly last week, but the total number collecting benefits across the country remains at its lowest level in more than five decades. New applications for benefits in Ohio topped 7,000 last week, and that's up about 800 from 6,200 the previous week. Nationally, the number was 203,000, up by 1,000. The total number of Americans collecting jobless benefits last week fell by 44,000 from the previous week to 1,343,000, and that's the fewest since 1970. The total collecting benefits in Ohio last week was 40,000. As road work along Route 16 continues, it's set to affect the Conesville area starting this Monday. Village administration is adamant about cracking down on drivers of semis. Semis are strictly prohibited within village limits. Mayor Marge Donnelly says ODOT will be providing more signs to indicate this, as well as some barriers.
From what ODOT has said, they will somehow allow vehicles, cars to get around, but the semis won't be able to get through.
She's also asking ODOT to contact Google Maps and Waze so those traffic apps will reflect the ongoing work and not lead semis through the village as a detour. Donnelly says if it becomes a recurring issue, she will notify the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, who can send a deputy to the village to issue tickets. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration says a trucking company can face $11,000 for failing to comply with posted route restrictions, while it can be $2,750 worth of a fine for an individual driver. And a new interim director is in place at Precious Treasures Preschool and Child Care Center inside of the West Lafayette United Methodist Church. Child Care Board Representative Sandy Shaw says the center is closed today, but it'll be back to business as usual Monday with interim director Brittany Sharp of Coshocton at the helm, starting at 6:30.
She's been an administrator for 5. She's very well qualified. Her leadership, even today, has been outstanding.
Sharp has a 2-year degree in social work and has been in the child care field now for 9 years, most recently director of daycare at Coburn United Methodist Church in Zanesville. She replaces Francie Brown, who had been director for 21 years. Brown declined to comment for this story. I'm Jeremy Scott, WTNS News.
It's 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, 68 degrees currently in Coshocton. Good morning, everyone. It's time for the Communication Lines program. I am Mike Bechtel here with you, and we'll be together between now and 11 o'clock. It is Friday. We're going to lighten up on Friday. Certainly a lot important issues going on in the world today. We'll talk about those on Monday. Today we'll talk about movies and music and the weather. Just a beautiful day ahead of us today, although maybe some rain this weekend. But if you're thinking about grilling out, this will be the perfect day for it. It's going to get up into the lower 80s today, but the humidity, nothing like what it is in July and August. So fire up the grill, and it's been a long week. You've worked hard. You deserve a steak. And I'll be over about 6 o'clock. It's 7 after 9, and the first hour we have the Master Gardeners with us, and this is the fun time of the year. We've got Gail Piper, Brenda Junkin, and also David Marison with us. Good morning, folks. Thanks for being here.
Morning.
And let's see, I got to push a couple of buttons, and now we're on the air. And, well, let's see, today is Friday, May the 13th. Frost-free day is the 15th. We'll get to that in just a moment. But, David, what's going on at the Extension office right now?
Well, you know, lots of good things. We're gearing up on the 4-H side, of course. The fair will be here before we know it, so a lot of quality assurance trainings. And we had a great backyard fruit program few weeks ago at Roscoe Village, and that went over really, really well. And now it's just getting the questions are coming in. And this week was, it seemed like, soil testing galore the last 2 weeks. So that, which makes our hearts happy when we see people soil testing, especially with the way fertilizer prices are. So,
oh my gosh,
I could just tell you, yesterday I wrote 7 soil test letters back to folks about the soil tests that they have done. So it's encouraging to see people get their soil testing done. And, of course, we're getting into gardening season, so some of those questions are starting to come in as well.
Yeah, I got a great big box of the green stuff last year, so I've got plenty left over. So I've foreshadowed the problem.
You're smart.
With cost. Now, David, are more people getting soil tests this year than in the past? Is it increasing? Is the word getting out?
You know, I think we had a nice bump up this year, especially because I think we've been a little more aggressive as far as re-promoting the benefits of getting a soil test done, especially because fertilizer prices are up. If you go into, regardless of where you go, you're going to see marked increases on your fertilizer. And why put it down if you don't need it is our mantra. So only put down what your plants need, because just as your soils can be deficient, they can also be in excess. So especially the pH is the biggest issue when you do a soil testing, to see if you need to add some lime. And that's, of course, if you have a low pH, then the soil can bind up. The nutrients may be there. It's like having a locked pantry, of having Oreo cookies in a cupboard that have a lock on them, and you just can't get to them. Well, that's what pH does. If the pH is too low, you have all the nutrients sitting there, and the plants just can't get them. So you put a little lime on, and then become more available.
Okay, and that makes me hungry. I like that.
I love Oreo cookies. So
yeah, I have some Oreo cookies with my steak tonight. So now, is it
6 o'clock? I heard we'll be
right,
over.
That's right. Okay. Now, how quick of a turnaround is there on soil testing? Can you still do it? Is it too late?
No, absolutely. You can come in today and get bring your soil test in, and we look at about a week turnaround, the time from we mailed some yesterday in. Thursday has been kind of the day we've been mailing those in, and I'll have those results back probably no later than Tuesday morning, and then I will put a personal letter together with the report, just to give folks an idea about that. If they have emails, then it could be less than a week. If it goes back in snail mail, then you're looking probably a week turnaround. But we use Spectrum Analytic, which is down in Washington Courthouse, Ohio, to run our soil samples, and they are really quick. So about a week turnaround time.
And can you just very quickly review the procedure? What, if you get your soil tested, what do you need to bring to the Extension office?
So we need about a cup and a half of soil from, say, let's for instance, I have a 10 by 20 garden, and I want to take a sample from that. Now, you can only, if you only went to one spot in the garden and took a sample, it's a sample with 6 inches. We don't want that. We want you to take about 10 to 15 samples within that garden, or it could be a lawn. It could be a hay field. A lot of hay fields are getting tested now. So we want 10 to 15 of these core samples, which are about 6 inches deep, and that you mix them in a bucket, and then you ultimately you'll bring us, it's a random sample, so you'll bring us about a cup and a half, and that's what we send away. And if you can use a garden trowel to take that, we have a soil test probe that people can come into the office and they can borrow it free of charge. You come in, sign it out, you can run home, take your soil sample, bring back your soil, and Libby and Janet are really good about processing those and get them into the bag and getting the information that you need, and then we get it sent away.
All right, and how much is it these days?
For the soil sample, it's $16. That includes the postage that we to mail it to the lab, and of course, and then to get your letter sent back to you. So $16 for a sample,
and well worth it for the increased yield and a successful garden. So you can still do that now. Whoever wants to tackle this, probably I don't know 4 or 5 days ago, I gave the go-ahead for people to put their tomatoes in the garden. But you guys are the experts. Is that good advice?
Yep.
I didn't say do it. I said go ahead.
There is a difference. There's a difference. Our frost-free date for this area is May 15th, which is not guaranteed. But if you look at the 10-day weather forecast, there's no frost anywhere in the next 10 days, which is going to take us well beyond the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That said, always have to give that caveat of be prepared to cover things if you put them in the ground just in case there's a late frost somewhere. It is only May. It is Ohio.
Mine are in, by the way.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that in a little bit. But
you
can put them in the ground now. My seedlings really aren't that big yet. And also my observations over the years, even if you get them in the ground in May, they don't really start growing and cranking until we get to mid-June, July. We get the humidity, the ground is warmed up,
warmer.
And we have warm soil and consistent temperatures in the 80s or higher.
Well, they're Mediterranean, tomatoes are Mediterranean plants, so they don't really like it when it's like mid 80s and up. It's too hot for them.
Okay.
So you might want to have a screen on them they have the fabric. The shade fabric you can put on them. And I did put mine in just because they got so big. And I always pinch the bottom leaves off, and I get about 6 inches of the stem into the soil so it has a good base.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I ever fertilize them during the season, I don't do fertilizer, but I do compost. And I always do it the diameter of the shadow that the tomato plant casts at, like, high noon, because you figure the roots are not going to go any further than that. So
drip line.
I like to keep it within that space. I also like to conserve, and I'm not going to waste my compost. I want to make sure it's doing what it needs to do. And also, I have paper bags that I've collected from the grocery store. They're not that big now that they're in the ground. If I need to go out, I'll just put a paper bag over them, and it'll be fine.
Now, mm-hmm. you mentioned to me before we started, your tomato plants are, a foot tall or so?
Or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bigger, larger than that?
Well, I have to put this in there. My husband, whom I love dearly, is planting as well, and he was doing this 301 fertilizer in his peppers, some of the seeds that you gave him, and he, unbeknownst to me, because I don't normally do that. I just put water and let them do what they do, was putting some of that in there. So they did get, he did boost them up. God bless him. And, I love my husband.
Okay. For those that haven't heard in the past, you've got a little bit of a competition between the two of you. Your styles are a little bit different, right?
Oh, yeah. He now has an 7-8 foot fence around his. I've got a 3 foot little electric that does a little zap. It doesn't gonna hurt anybody. So his is grandiose and mine is meek.
Okay, and he's the one that uses all the bells and whistles and lights.
Yes.
and you don't use all that stuff,
no,
right?
But so funny.
And now, when did you start your seeds?
7 weeks ago.
And so that would be, let's see, 7 weeks ago. That like the mid end of March, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. maybe I started, I don't think I normally do it then, but I wasn't adding fertilizer to them in the past either. But they're beautiful. They're in the soil. We'll see.
Okay. Well, yours are a lot, I started mine about the same time, and yours are
huge.
A lot larger. Most of the ones I have look like the ones that I brought in here today. So,
wow. Okay. But they're really healthy looking.
And that they are. I've got some spindly looking ones, but even if they do get leggy when you get them outside and in the ground and hardened, they can overcome that.
Well, especially when you're putting them in the soil further than where they are now, mm-hmm. you're going to put them in. I put them in at least 4 inches, but they were so tall I could do that. So I'll have a really strong stem. I'll have a good strong base. It'll be nice.
And now I made the comment that we went to temperatures to get into the 80s and 90s, and certainly want warm soil temperatures. But you mentioned that when it gets that hot, they don't like it. What happens to them?
Well, all kinds of things. You can get blight. You can get water and everything else. You can get bottom rot. There's all kinds of things that we'll probably be talking about in the next couple months when they kind of are timely. But there's all kinds of things that can happen as the summer progresses.
I have learned through growing some of the heirloom and oddball tomatoes that different varieties, some of them prefer different temperatures. Some of these Russian varieties like it a little bit cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and also how you're planting. I don't mean to diverse from this, but, you know, companion planting and making sure, like, the plants you're putting in, you would never want to put potatoes in the same spot that you put tomatoes last year, because certain plants take certain nutrients, and if they're you're not rotating your crops when you're planting, you're going to zap all that energy off, and you'll be calling David again for another soil test.
Now, I always focus on tomatoes and peppers because that's what I grow. But now, companion planting, what are some good things to plant along with, say, tomatoes? I think you had a Facebook post on that, didn't you, at some time? I saw something online anyway.
It was in the newsletter.
Okay.
Well, one of the things they talk about when companion planting, like you would plant lettuce and cabbage alternately in the same row, because the lettuce will mature first and then you will harvest it before the growth of the cabbage. So that's considered companion gardening. Also, there's, like we just mentioned, you don't want to plant things that zap the similar nutrients out of the soil or similar light, or even sometimes soil and as the soil moisture as well, because you'll get plant diseases that'll go from one to the other quicker if you have them close together. So you want to be aware of that. And it's not just soil. It's like if you plant nectar-rich flowers amongst your crops that attract pollinators, that's also considered a companion planting. So it's not just one way. If that makes sense at all. I think another thing, you've heard of the Three Sisters, which is a classic. It's corn, squash, and beans, and you plant them together, and the stalks from the corn, the beans grow around those, and then the squash, I wrote it down so I wouldn't say it incorrectly, but the squash has the ability to take the nitrogen from the air and then convert it into soil-bound form, which is useful for those other two plants. So all three of these plants, it's like the ultimate companion garden, work together to keep each other disease-free and to grow. And it's a really cool thing because you kind of scatter. You're not like structured. It's kind of a scatter the seed. Don't do a straight line. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool looking. If you want to try it, mm-hmm. you could Google it, the Three Sisters, and mm-hmm. find it everywhere. But it's a cool thing to mm-hmm. do. I've had a few friends do that, and they've had wonderful luck with it.
Okay, and I enjoy all three of those things, so
it's
worth a try. Now, Gail, we talk about pollinators a lot. Is it a good idea if you grow a vegetable garden to put out some flowers or other plants to attract pollinators, to go out of your way to do it, or if you put out a garden, the pollinators, pretty good chance they'll just find it?
Well, they're probably going to find it, but you're going to enhance if you put out some pollinator like plants. Anything you can do to encourage pollinators is a good thing. And
not just for your own garden, but in general, right?
Right.
For the whole cosmic equilibrium.
Okay.
It's good for the universe. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. Anything you've got, that any plants that you have that are going to provide nectar for the bees, because we all know the bees are the big pollinators. In fact, our native bees are actually more efficient and better pollinators than the honeybees, which are actually not native. They've been here so long, we think they are. It behooves you to have some nearby, around, wherever you can. You're also going to attract things like, we're talking about the bees a lot, butterflies, hummingbird moths, hummingbirds, that kind of thing.
Yeah, beneficial insects, will also be attracted to them.
And keep in mind that certain pollinators are attracted only to certain plants, such as squash. There's a squash bee that really only pollinates squash. That's it. That's what they want. And that works for you, of course. But, yeah, anything that will bring the pollinators in is a good thing.
Did we talk about dill last night? I had a conversation with somebody about dill, and I just love fresh dill. But the one thing I've noticed about growing a dill is that it attracts all kinds of oftentimes very, very small wasps and insects and critters that I don't recall seeing on other plants.
Yeah. I think we talked last time about host plants. Certain insects prefer certain plants, either for raising their young or for the nectar, or even such as bumblebees. Some of them have what they call buzz pollination, where they can actually get inside a flower, and they'll vibrate to attract the pollen to themselves and pack it all over themselves and then take it off where they need to. Whereas a butterfly can't get in there. There's all kinds of different stuff for all kinds of different insects. And dill is big for, I think swallowtails, butterflies. Mm-hmm. We'll use that as a host plant. You'll
see
it.
I love dill, too. I have a lot of dill.
And I use the dried dill during the winter, but there is nothing like dill straight out of the garden to put on some big salmon.
Yeah, or cream cheese on
cream
bread.
Cream cheese, there you go. Yes. Okay.
So now we're having surf and turf, right? We're having baked salmon and steak?
There you go.
Okay, all right.
With Oreos for dessert. The Master Gardeners are here with us until 10 o'clock this morning. And we kind of got out of the habit of taking phone calls, and we were doing this over the phone for a while. But we do want to open up the phone lines if you have any gardening questions of your own for the Master Gardeners. We are all wired to go, so give us a call at 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
At Dean's Jewelry, we believe jewelry tells a story.
Whether it's the epic novel of a family heirloom passed down through generations,
or a romantic tale of the six-month dateversary necklace he bought you last week,
every story deserves to be told. And when you're ready to add a chapter to yours, commemorate the moment with a beautiful piece of jewelry from Dean's.
You won't find any plot twists here, just upfront pricing and full disclosure on everything we do.
Continue your story at Dean's Jewelry, Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
At College Park Home Care, we provide one-on-one health care in the comfort of your home. Whether it's health assessments, medication teaching or wound care, pain management or physical therapy, our highly trained and dependable staff deliver health care services customized to you. At College Park Home Care, we work closely with your health care provider to provide maximum recovery in minimum time. To learn more about College Park Home Care, call us at 740-623-4607.
This look at the weather is brought to you by locally owned and operated Rick's Auto Sales and Repair. Minor dents and dings? No problem. Major collision repair? No problem. All repairs are handled by their ASE Blue and iCar Gold certified technicians. They accept insurance claims and offer rentals too. Rick's Auto Sales and Repair is located on South 2nd Street, or call them at 740-622-3471.
Mostly sunny today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, mainly clear. Warm with lows in the lower 60s. And tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Slight chance of showers in the morning. Then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 60%. Right now it is 68 degrees in Coshocton. And I haven't been outside since about 5:30 this morning. Does it feel pretty nice out there?
It's beautiful outside.
Okay, a great day to spend out in the garden, getting your gardens ready. And regardless of what you are planning, and is it too late to start tomato and pepper seeds now?
It can be done, because I have a lot of volunteers that'll pop up, and I'll let them go, and I'll be able to get tomatoes by then the season.
Yeah, I'll be pushing later.
Yeah.
Well, but that might fit your schedule a little better.
Okay, so it can be done, but there are certainly a lot of other seeds, plants that can be grown from seeds that are ideal to start right now, or maybe even a little bit later. Cucumber, squash, etc.
And look at your maturity dates on your seed packets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're going to start them later, you've got to have something with a closer maturity date.
Okay, yeah. And it works better if you start them later if you live in Florida than in Ohio, right? Mm-hmm.
But then you get into some really hot weather.
Back to the thing about the temperatures with tomatoes. Are they hard to grow in Florida because of that, or in the warmer?
You lived in Florida. I never lived in Florida. You lived in Florida.
I didn't try, but I can tell you, I lived in West Palm Beach,
mm-hmm.
which is South Florida, and you're not putting things out in May like we do here. You're putting annual plants out in October. They grow nicely through the winter, and then when May hits, they get really leggy and ugly, and you start pulling them out. They'll sell them to you in May, but you don't want them.
Okay.
So, I'd go that way with the tomatoes, too. You know, South Florida, the Everglades agricultural area down there, we were there for 4 years, and my husband was in conservation, so he knows a lot more about what they do than I do. They're growing corn and harvesting that in February. You know, it's a
completely different world.
Different world. Mm-hmm. Very different world. And it's all sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you know there are 40 different kinds of sand in Florida?
I did not know there were 40 different kinds. I know there's a lot of limestone, karst, limey soil. So, 40 different kinds of sand.
Yes.
Can you name all 40?
Not me. That was his job.
All right. Well, what I'm getting at with the seeds here, the Victory Garden seeds, that's something that you brought to Coshocton last year, and the Victory Garden seeds return again. David, was last year the first year?
It was the first year for us to have those seeds.
Okay.
It was the third year for the Department of Agriculture to have that program. In the first year of that program, they only selected 10 counties across the state to distribute the Victory Garden seeds to. Those are more your urban counties. So last year they expanded that to, I believe, 25, if my memory serves me right. And then this year up to 42 counties got seeds.
And I am holding in my hand this year's Victory Garden seeds. Last year there were cucumbers and a variety pack of different types of sunflowers, and I forget what else.
Some radishes.
Last year. Mm-hmm. And this year there's a couple of returning favorites, the cucumbers and sunflowers, but there's more.
Also, there's carrots and lettuce in there this year, so perfect for this week to come in and get your Victory Garden seeds, because you can plant those carrots and the lettuce seeds now, and then as well as plant some sunflowers. So we received 300. We thought we were receiving 500 of these seeds packets, but then when we started counting the other day, we have 300. So that means we have less than 50 packets left. So if you want to get the seeds, make sure you're stopping into our office. We have them outside our office on a table, or you can pop in and say hi to us and grab a packet from us as well. But there's enough in there. I think you can see that, Mike, that there's enough in there, probably not only for yourself, but you probably could share with your grandpa or your cousin or your neighbor, and just plant some of these lettuce, carrots, cucumbers, and sunflowers, and have fun with it.
There's enough cucumber seeds here to plant a whole garden full of cucumbers, and I can give a testimonial on these Market Moore 76 cucumbers, because in the past I have had marginal success with cucumbers and having them come out bitter, etc. I grew some of these last year, and they were quite delicious, and the plant was very prolific.
Well, the cool thing about the Victory Garden seeds, too, here locally, Earth Day was held on Wednesday out at Wills Creek Dam, and the 5th and 6th graders from a couple of our schools were there, and the nice thing about that is we were there and able to give out a lot of Victory Garden seeds to the 6th graders, and the 6th graders hopefully are taking those seeds home, and they're going to be planting those gardens this weekend.
All right. So you have plenty left then?
Less than 50.
Oh, less
so
than 50.
That's
not plenty.
That's not plenty, but it's not like we only have two left, but 50 left. So I think ideally over the next week, you want to get in and grab some of those seeds if you wish, and you know, grab them for your neighbors or yourself, and be happy to just talk to you if you come in. And we have a whole information packet with it. Mm-hmm. So maybe you said, well, maybe I don't remember how to plant cucumbers and how to make these hills and that kind of thing. Well, we have provided you with a whole packet of information there to help you along your way as you grow these crops.
I grew the cucumbers in a hanging basket. You can do that in a...
No, absolutely.
So
I did mine vertically on a trellis.
Uh-huh.
It went up the trellis, over the porch railing, and cascaded down our porch.
How much work does that take to train them on a trellis? And you got to go out and just do it on your own.
Once you start them, mm-hmm. then they take off, and it keeps growing.
Okay, well, very good. We do, in fact, have a phone call waiting. I do want to take a break to stay on schedule. We'll get to the phones with the Master Gardeners right after this. For winning Ohio Lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
1 in 5 people will experience mental illness during their lifetime, and many spend months or years facing challenges before diagnosis. Soy Help from American Soybean Association and United Soybean Board is online at soygrowers.com and can help you seek professional support.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road.
Call the Jeff Drennan Ford Sports Line at 623-9867. Hi, I'm AJ Schreiber. Join us for a Memorial Day sale with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in during the month of May. Only at Jeff Drennan Ford.
Soybeans Zest Nematode are gaining ground throughout Ohio. In this best of Voice of Soy, brought to you by Ohio soybean farmers and their checkoff dollars, Horacio Lopez-Nicora with Ohio State University shares how checkoff investments are helping farmers tackle these yield-robbing pests.
First of all, to detect if they have soybeans zest nematode. If they do, then the next question is, well, how much do I have? The results that the growers will receive will be a table indicating the numbers of soybeans zest nematode per 100 cc of soil and what the number means. More than 60% of these fields tested positive for the presence of soybean zest nematode. However, if we grab these numbers that are very alarming, then we realize that the majority of these samples really have levels that are very low and will not cause significant yield reduction if we do take a management approach.
For more Voice of Soy programs, visit brownfieldagnews.com.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Hi, this is Carla Norris from the Howard Hanna Real Estate Services Coshocton office. One of my hobbies is buying distressed homes, renovating them, and then selling them to a happy family. My experience in the local market and finding properties with potential allows me to help you as a real estate agent. Give me a call today to help you find the property of your dreams. 740-502-1881.
Mostly sunny today, warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, mainly clear, warm with lows in the lower 60s, and tomorrow, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers in the morning, and a showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, warm with highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain is 60%. Currently it is 68 degrees in Coshocton. Before we take a phone call, Gail, we were talking about something there during the commercial break. I'd like to share with the listeners. There are, in fact, quite a few tomatoes that are grown in the state of Ohio. I think Reynoldsburg has a tomato festival, or they used to. And you mentioned the Campbell's plant up near Napoleon.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of tomatoes grown in northwestern Ohio. The area has a lot of black sand. It's where the lake has receded, and you're left with this really black, rich soil up there. And you'll drive up through Henry County, Wood County, some of those up in there, and you will see acres and acres and acres of tomatoes. You'll also find carrot fields which is interesting. You may find some cucumber fields for grown for pickles.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, there is a huge Campbell soup plant just across the Maumee River from the city of Napoleon in Henry County. And the, you can smell it as you're driving through because they irrigate. And they, it's an interesting aroma. Let's just put it that way. They, you know, the nutrients are in, and they use some, I'm not sure exactly where they get their water, but they recycle some of it. And if you're into that, it's a neat drive just to go up and look around, see what's growing up there.
And Napoleon has one of the most beautiful courthouses in the state as well.
It does indeed. I lived up there for several years. Two of my children were actually born in Napoleon.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nice area. Very flat. Not like this.
Oh, yeah. It is 9:36 now. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Hello, you are on the air with the Master Gardeners.
Hello. Yes, Mike, my wife and I do compost, and I've heard that to put coffee grounds in their garden also, is that good or bad for tomatoes and peppers?
Okay, tips, basic tips for composting, and where do coffee grounds come in?
Yes.
There are a lot of people that do put coffee grounds in the garden. My preference is to actually put them in the compost pile and let them break down from there and then use that compost on the plants.
You also, when you're doing that, we're back to nutrients. You're going to zap it a little too much, and I can't remember what the main nutrient is. I know a lot of the coffee shops will gather their grounds for you if you ask. I know some of my friends who have done that, but they too have put it straight into the compost, not separate.
Okay, and I've heard that before, many times before. Coffee grounds, what is there specifically about coffee grounds? I don't know if you know the specific mineral minerals or whatever, but why coffee grounds?
It's a nitrogen source.
Okay.
It also be somewhat acidic.
Yeah. And if you get too much nitrogen in it, you're going to get your tomato plant with a lot of green and not a lot of fruit.
Okay.
So you have to be careful of that, or you'll just get a lot more leafing.
Okay, and that holds true of not just of compost or coffee grounds, but fertilizers in general,
right?
So.
Yeah, even like a lot of people put their eggshells into their compost, or they just put it directly in. I do mine, but I dry mine out because I have put ice. I think, you know, and eggshells in there. And I swear 2 years later, that stupid eggshell is still pretty solid. So I let mine dry out. My one girlfriend actually puts them in the oven when the oven's cooling after she bakes something and puts it in there so they dry out and crunch them up before she puts them into her compost. Because I swear I've had the same eggshells full size
That's
a year later.
That's too much work for this lazy gardener then. Caller, does that answer your question?
That part, yes. And one other question about the compost. Is it best to till it in with the regular soil, or to how would they apply that?
Good question. What do you do with the compost when it's ready to go?
I apply it before I've planted. I'll mix it into my soil, but when I'm actually my plants are growing, I don't let it touch the stem, but I'm out a couple inches and I put it on top because I don't want to disturb the root systems of my plants. You don't want to damage them by trying to be good to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'll do. And again, it goes back to the diameter of the shade of that plant is how far you want to put your compost.
Right. So then as the compost decays, the nutrients will leach into the
soil. Yeah, when
the
it rains.
Okay.
And
wash them right down in. It's called side dressing.
Okay. Caller, does that help?
That sounds good. Now I got one more question.
Okay.
I'm not planting tomato plants or peppers until next weekend at the soonest, but would it be a good idea to put this compost on and mix it in with the garden soil now, like this weekend?
You're both nodding yes, ladies.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
Okay, that's my questions, and thank you, sir.
All right, thank you for calling. And, folks, if that's simple, if you have a gardening question, give us a call at 740-622-1560. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times.
And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal, regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. To find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit associationsadvanceohio.com.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center is committed to prioritizing the safety of our patients. That promise of better care is reflected in our achievement of a Leapfrog Hospital Safety Grade A for safety excellence and a top 10% ranking for patient safety in the nation from health grades 2 years in a row. We strive to be the gold standard of care and have demonstrated that pledge to every patient with our commitment to patient safety. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Our Memorial Day sale is going on the whole month of May with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Are you thinking of any home improvements this spring? Wilson Carpet and Furniture has select styles of Dreamweaver carpet up to $1 off per square yard, or choose from one of Cortex's luxury vinyl tile or planks, which are 100% waterproof, kid-proof, and pet-proof. And don't forget your windows. We have the perfect window dressing, Graber blinds. You can choose from a large variety of quality custom-made window coverings. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton.
Family Urgent Care, located in the Downtowner Plaza, now has a nurse practitioner on site Monday through Friday. Having a nurse practitioner on location will help diagnose and treat acute and chronic conditions, prescribe medications, and order tests such as lab work and x-rays. Family Urgent Care is open Monday through Friday. Give them a call at 740-295-9177 or stop by. They are located next to the BMV in the Downtowner Plaza.
Mostly sunny today and warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, mainly clear. Warm with lows in the lower 60s and tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers in the morning, then showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 60%. Currently it is 68 degrees in Coshocton. It is a 9:43, and we have some other things that we want to make sure that we work in before we call it a morning. But, folks, we have a couple of callers waiting, so let's get back to the phones now. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I know it's in the middle of gardening season, all that stuff, but when you're trying to plant, how do you deal with, like, wasps and all that stuff trying to fly around while trying to get planting done?
Okay, Gail, you take this one. wasps are good guys, right?
Wasps generally are good guys. They're not going to bother you if you don't bother them. And, of course, yes, they are flying around when you're disturbing the soil and so forth. With that caveat, yellow jackets are a menace. They're horrible. At the risk of sounding, you know, really awful, they should all die. But
that's the way I feel about spiders and snakes. That's for another day.
No. Okay. No. Leave the spiders and the snakes alone. But yellow jackets, don't get into them. Those are absolutely horrible.
Are they pollinators, though?
Wasps can be pollinators. Okay. They're kind of an accidental pollinator, if you will, because they're walking on the blossoms, and that way they are picking up pollen and taking it somewhere else. I don't know how well bug repellent would work to keep wasps away. Don't swat at them, because you're just going to make them mad. Then just try and avoid irritating them, and then they won't irritate
you. Other than yellow jackets, are there any of the other common wasps that we have around here that are aggressive?
Not really. It's really the yellow jackets that are okay. The big deal. You hear a lot about hornets, and people will see a hornet's nest, and they want to take that out of there. They're not going to bother you unless you bother them.
And then boy, howdy.
You don't want to get into them. And you can accidentally, because you don't know sometimes that it's inside a shrub. Mm-hmm. We had one inside a yew bush one time, didn't realize it was there.
But other than that, we've had bald-faced hornets build a nest right on the corner of a window, didn't realize it was there until we were pressure washing and saw it and backed off, and they never bothered a bit. So just be careful. In the case that you do find something aggressive, it wouldn't hurt to keep a can of aerosol.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for just to recap what you said, except for yellow jackets who all deserve death.
Yes.
most wasps, it's been my observation experiences as well, that if you don't bother them, as menacing as they look, they won't bother you.
Right. And like I said, yellow jackets are a different story. You can be walking within 15 feet of their nest and they've decided you're the enemy and come after you. I got stung twice over at Lake Park one time. Just walking by a nest we didn't realize was there. Those were yellow jackets. But the other ones are fine. And not all ground-dwelling bees are yellow jackets either. And there's a difference between bees and wasps.
Mm-hmm. So yellow jackets are, in fact, wasps.
They are. They are indeed.
Caller, does that help? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, because I know that those things like to sting repeatedly.
Yeah. If you've got anybody in your family that has any allergies, you want to make sure that you get rid of them.
Is it yellow jackets, caller, that you're dealing with, or are they other kinds of wasps?
It's like a little reddish, like with the legs, and then it's like a little blackish color. They're one of those ones that like to show up and they make nests in the house or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And they're out now. I've seen quite a few of them, but no yellow jackets yet, knock on wood.
Once it gets over 50 degrees, you start seeing bees and wasps and things like that out there. And they're basically looking for a home, too.
Well, thank you for calling. Caller 947 is the time. And yellow jackets, and now that I think about it, I don't recall seeing, with any regularity anyway, yellow jackets at my place. We see them at the fair every year. We see them other places. Do they have little pockets where, apparently they do, where they're more concentrated than others?
They probably find different soils to be more conducive to building a nest. Mm-hmm. I really don't have a good answer for why they would pick a certain place. There's one place next to our house that we get them, not every year, but they come back. Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that out loud, though, so I'm going to have to deal with them when I get home here. But let's go ahead and are they seasonal? We always see them at the fair, you know, in late September and October. But when do they start showing up in earnest?
Oh, gosh. Anytime.
Okay.
I'd watch for them anytime. You'll see them going in and out of a hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep away from them.
Well, let's take our next phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You guys are talking about everything that I dearly love.
Well, and I know you grow tomatoes and plants in Florida, so you could relate to the soil issues there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. I'm currently testing. I'm teaching some children down there in gardening, and we're testing some different plants, especially tomatoes. That's kind of one of my favorites. But the thing down there is with the sands and everything and all the different types of conditions, it is so difficult to grow tomatoes. I grew them and they grew to about 5 feet tall. I agree with the master gardeners. We go down in November 1st, and I've got to get them in the ground as quickly as possible because if it gets too late in the season, then it is too hot. It doesn't affect the plant as much as it affects the flavor of the fruit. The tomatoes will actually cook inside the skins. It creates almost like a hydroponic type taste. But in regards to the compost that the gentleman called in about coffee grounds, he was talking about nitrogen. And what that actually, when I was a child, of course, we didn't buy fish and bait, fish and worms and stuff. We grew our own. We had rigger boxes out by the garden. We put the eggshells, and we would also put the coffee grounds in there because night crawlers cannot resist that coffee ground. They are in there, and you can start a worm bed, so we never had to buy bait. So naturally, I wouldn't put it on the garden itself, but I would go with the compost pile. Same thing with eggshells. I don't typically use even my compost as a topping, for the simple reason most generally clean grass clippings that has not been chemically treated. About 2 inches of grass, and that's all the nitrogen that the plant's going to need for the entire season. So the only thing I really put around my tomato plants that is different from most people is that I will feed them Tums or an anti-acid tablet, about 4 of them around the base of the young tomatoes, because each tablet contains approximately 5 milligrams of calcium. It's just an easy calcium, a slow release, and I let them dissolve. Once they completely dissolve, then I might put 4 more on, but then that's it for the season. That'll help a lot around the tomato plants. And on peppers, then it's normally Epsom salts, a ring, staying away from the base, a donut ring around of Epsom salts, and that'll hold the bloom on and boost your production.
Well, I want to thank you for your call today. We have a couple other things we want to make sure we get to before 10 o'clock this morning. Why don't you give me a call next hour and we can compare notes on our gardens.
Okay. All right.
It is. Okay. Thanks for calling. It is 9:52, and we do have. I hate to cut that caller short because he always has lots of great information.
Oh, he's great.
We'll talk to him more next hour, hopefully. But a couple other things that we wanted to make sure that we got to this morning, and one was I don't know what it means, but name the tree. David?
Well, Name the Tree workshop is going to be held on June 29th. So this is for the folks that, you know, you walk by that tree, you go, man, I wish I knew what that tree was. Or I have a woodland and a woodlot and don't know what the different trees I have. So this is your introductory course on learning how to ID trees that are in our landscapes and our woodlands. We're bringing a couple OSU Extension foresters into town on June 29th to help teach this class from 10 to 3 at. And it's going to be at Clary Gardens. We're partnering with them. And if you're interested in this program, we have limited seating. Of course, it includes the program, and we're going to have lunch. And half of the class is going to be out in the woods, actually IDing trees. So there's you're going to get some classroom instruction on the basics of how to do it, and then we're going to put it all into practice.
I've asked you this before, but do we have any rare or oddball the trees, outliers that live here in Coshocton County? The ginkgos we've talked about.
The ginkgos, of course, are our claim to fame, right? So that would be our outlier would be. But we have a pretty good diversity of trees in this county. So from your softer woods to your hardwoods. So we have pretty good diversity.
Okay. And do you have what's your best guess as to how many species that
I don't even know if I could best guess on that,
okay.
Mike.
I'll have to ask Margaret next time she's here.
Huh?
Okay. Well, what else? Speaking of Margaret, the newsletter, and the two of you have been involved in the newsletter as well. When did the latest newsletter come out, and what's in it?
The last newsletter came out at the very end of April. It was online right before May 1st, and it was out in the public in hard copy form right after the first part of May. This covers May and June this time. Talks about the Name That Tree workshop coming up. Talks about spotted lanternfly update. They did find it again in Lorain County. It behooves us all to watch everywhere to make sure if we see that little critter to report it, because it's going to be a toughie. Margaret's got a nice article on growing asparagus and another one on the viceroy butterfly and how to tell the difference between a viceroy and a monarch. We even have pictures so you can see it.
And the birds can't tell the difference. That's why the viceroy has those colors to begin with.
Exactly. They're a mimic.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mimic. They look very much like a monarch. Monarch, if you haven't heard, monarch butterflies have a bitter taste to them. And so when birds see them, they're going to leave them alone. Then they see the orange viceroy and think, oh, that's a monarch. They're not going to go around looking for that little black line at the bottom of the second set of wings. So we also have something in on lesser celandine, which is an invasive and is being considered to be put on the prohibited plant list for the state of Ohio.
Which is a lengthy list, isn't it?
It is. There are 38 plants on there right now. Everything is prohibited on that list at this point except for Calary Pear, which goes on, is totally prohibited in January of next year. And if you asked any of us, we would tell you, please, never, never, never plant a Calary Pear. They're very invasive. Lesser celandine is a little low-growing yellow flower, rounded leaves. You saw it probably last month growing along wet
little
surfaces.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. We've seen them over at Lake Park.
Yeah. And they are very invasive. They will crowd out our native species, which we don't want. They also develop what they're called bulbils above the ground. And one reason that you find them along deer trails is because those little bulbils stick to deer's feet. And then they are spread right along through there. So, article on that, article on butterfly habitat, and another one on when you should prune your flowering shrubs, as well as the checklist for May and for June for your garden, and some upcoming events, including next time we'll be on the radio. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, which will be approximately a month from today. We got a few minutes, about 3 minutes left. Did we get to everything you had on your agenda today, David?
Absolutely, okay. And much, much more, so that's great.
Well, and one more thing, ticks. I have seen a lot of it. One of the Columbus TV station had a story on ticks, and we're seeing it elsewhere. Ticks have become more of a problem here in Ohio, apparently, than they were, say, 20, 30 years ago.
20 years ago, we were told that we did not have deer ticks in the state of Ohio.
And now there are more species here than...
We have the Lone Star tick, which is predominantly in southern Ohio. Deer ticks are commonplace all over now. Deer ticks are the one that carry Lyme disease, so you really want to watch. And they can be, in their first instar, they would fit on the head of a pin and smaller. They're very hard to see. Dog ticks can carry Rocky Mountain spotted fever. There is a disease associated with Lone Stars. And we're getting a new one called the Asian longhorn tick, which we haven't seen a whole lot of yet.
And that's the one, Mike, we're concerned on the cattle side. We have a lot of cattle producers in this county because in Monroe County, there were actually a herd of cows that the Asian longhorn ticks were so bad in, they lost 3 or 4 cows from just this tick infestation on them. Last summer. So we're watching this closely in our beef quality assurance classes that we're doing here locally. We're starting to incorporate identification of this Asian longhorn tick just because of the danger it could potentially have if it got onto some cows and they didn't know it.
As gardeners, though, our advice would be deer ticks are in leaf litter. Deer ticks can be active all year long. We're getting into the season of dog ticks and so forth. So as you're out there planting and taking care of your gardens and weeding and so forth, use repellent. I know it's too hot now to wear your jeans tucked into your boots or have elastic bands around the bottom, but check yourself when you're done outside. Get that shower. Use the repellent. I personally experienced, I had 2 deer ticks last year. My nurse practitioner is laughing at me now because I'm a tick magnet, evidently. Yeah. But just really be careful. Lyme disease, we've had several cases of it in the county even before we knew the ticks were here. So it's a serious illness. Just check yourself and be very careful.
Okay. Asian longhorn tick. Is there any the similar names have anything to do with the Asian longhorn beetle at all?
Two different things.
Two different things.
Is the Asian longhorn beetle under control, or is it still a threat?
ALB is still being monitored. Of course, we haven't found it in this part of Ohio, so that's good.
Okay.
Right. And we love the jingle.
Well, yeah, that's what I was asking. I want to make sure that I don't have to stop playing that PSA.
It's my favorite one.
Okay. Hey, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us today. We'll do it again next month. Anything else you'd like to touch on before we call it a morning?
I think we're good.
No, as always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to give us a call at the Extension Office, 740-622-2265. make sure you stop in today to get your Victory Garden seed packet.
And check our Facebook page, Coshocton County Master Gardener Volunteers. We put timely tips up there. We have some stuff going up on the information station at Lake Park soon on native plants. And like David says, call. Check the website, too, coshocton.osu.edu.
Always interesting stuff if you subscribe to that Facebook page. So a lot of ways to get information from the Extension Office and the Master Gardeners. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 10 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. The 21-year-old Russian soldier on trial for alleged war crimes in Ukraine is declining a jury trial. He's accused of shooting a 62-year-old unarmed civilian in the head, killing him. And as Moscow presses on with its war, Ukraine is asking the West to act. Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba.
Today I asked G7 countries to adopt legislation and put in place all necessary procedures needed to seize Russian sovereign assets and give them to Ukraine. Give them to Ukraine for Ukraine to use this money to rebuild our country.
Ukraine's foreign minister. It appears WNBA star Brittany Griner will go on trial soon in Moscow. Her lawyer says her detention in Russia has been extended by a month. She was detained at the Moscow airport after vape cartridges containing oil derived from cannabis were allegedly found in her luggage. That could carry a 10-year prison sentence. Here in the U.S., frenzied parents are trying to find baby formula. There's a nationwide shortage. The AP's Tim McGuire.
The shortage caused by supply disruptions, a safety recall, and temporary closure of one of the main formula-producing plants. President Biden has talked with Gerber and others to increase production and retailers such as Walmart and Target to speed up deliveries.
Sentencing scheduled to begin this hour for Redonda Vaught, the former Tennessee nurse who could get up to 8 years in prison for mistakenly causing the death of a patient. She accidentally administered the wrong medication. Nurses have traveled from around the country to protest outside the courthouse. Several people were injured after shots were fired outside an Arkansas convention center. No arrests yet and no further details. This is AP News. In China, an official says the big city of Shanghai will try again to reopen in a few days as the COVID outbreak there subsides. The AP's Charles de Ledesma.
An outbreak is waning in the city that's now in the seventh week of a strict lockdown that has been moved, lifted and reinforced at times to the frustration of residents. The lockdown is part of the ruling Communist Party's zero COVID goal that has exacted a mounting economic toll and that even the WHO says may be unsustainable. Shanghai's vice mayor says eliminating the virus in the community would allow for an orderly opening and limited movement sometime in mid-May. He didn't specify a date or say how the reopening would occur. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Here at home, gas is $4.43 a gallon on average now, up 16 cents in a week. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
There was a tree in the middle of a yard, the prettiest tree that you ever did see. And the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around, and on that tree there were some holes, the ugliest holes that you ever did see. And the holes on the tree, and the trees in the ground, and the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around, and in that hole there was some frass, sawdusty frass that you ever did see. And the frass in the holes, and the holes on the tree, and the trees in the ground, and the ALB goes around all around, and the ALB goes around.
Now there's no more tree in the middle of that yard. It's the deadest tree that you ever did see. Because the beetle killed the tree, and the tree hit the ground, and the ALB still goes all around, and the ALB goes around.
Spot the signs and stop the Asian longhorned beetle. Learn all the signs at AsianLonghornedBeetle.com.
It is 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, and that is my favorite public service announcement. And the PSAs that we have, and all very important topics, no question about that. But sometimes they're a bit of a buzzkill talking about diseases and health problems and world strife. That is the happiest PSA about an invasive species that you ever will see. Okay, it's 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Open phone lines up until 11, and let me know what's on your mind. We had a caller last hour and invited him to call back this hour. I hope he does. Talk a little bit about gardening. We can talk about your garden. We can talk about the weather. It looks like we might have a bit of a wet weekend, but hasn't this been an absolutely gorgeous week to spend some time outdoors to get your gardens ready? And I'm not ready to put mine out just yet. I might start off with one or two. It's a big job, not something I can get done in one day. But all of my seedlings, most of them still doing well. They didn't all make it, but they are looking pretty good. I've given a few of them away and picked out the biggest and strongest ones for my garden, my container garden. So give me a call. The phone lines are open to talk about gardening, talk about the weather. The Cleveland Guardians, they haven't played for a couple of days. Members of the coaching staff with COVID, and they had to cancel the game, their last game against the White Sox because of COVID, and the first game of the season has been canceled in Major League Baseball because of COVID. Last couple of seasons have been disrupted big time by COVID, so we can talk about that if you like, sports. The Cleveland Guardians, and I think they're still at 500 right now. They've won as many as they've lost as many as they've won, but they've been fun to watch, and they've been exciting, and they have shown some signs of promise for the future. So those are some things that we can talk about. Let's get back to the phones now. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mike.
All right, welcome back.
Okay.
The Master Gardeners had to leave at 10 o'clock,
I understand. You know how it is. You get me started on gardening, and I'm kind of like the Energizer Bunny on that. So, I don't quit.
So in general, how's everything doing? Do you have anything in the ground yet?
Everything.
Oh, tomatoes, peppers, everything?
Yep, tomatoes, peppers. I just planted green beans yesterday, pole beans. Let's see, of course, naturally radishes. Radishes, you want to put them out in the cold weather. And then, of course, the beets are out. Cucumbers are in. Pretty much everything is out there. I'm trying not too many experimental things. I got some Chinese cabbage that I'm going to try to head up, which is out of season. Chinese cabbage is normally grown latter part of the summer into the fall and then develop into the colder weather. But I'm going to reverse it and see what happens. I didn't mean to interrupt on their talk. It just, there was some talk about those coffee grounds, and I've always known and took it for granted because we had our own worm farm, because we like to fish all the time, but we would take part of Dad's compost and then we would add the coffee grounds in it. Now, what would happen, I don't know, if you went to some store and got a whole bunch of coffee grounds. I suppose it could. It would do too much of anything can harm the soil. But coffee grounds, it attracts night crawlers like you cannot believe, which that you want in your compost. You don't want to do without them critters. There's your nitrogen coming in there. But then grass clippings. I read that in a long time ago in Mother Earth News, on the grass clippings, even a half inch of grass clippings around the tomato plants is better than nothing. But grass is so full of nitrogen, but I caution extremely, if your grass has been treated with any kind of a, pesticide or a, weed, particularly weed killer, don't get it nowhere near your compost or your plants. Don't use it. Bag it up and get rid of it. Typically I will, the answer for if you have your weed control, which many of us do it in the fall.
two things on that. You, in the fall, your fertilizer prices go way down because the stores are trying to get rid of it before winter. And it will work quite effectively on the weeds. And I guarantee you, come spring, you're going to mow twice as much too. So, but, at least in the spring when you're mowing, if the grass is clean, it's weed, you have no weed killer on it, so it can go directly to the garden. It can be put in the compost, whatever. Now, the guy asked, he said, should I take my compost, put it on the garden, and till it in? And I know that this is going to sound strange, but I started practicing no-till, no spring till several years ago. My garden gets tilled in the fall to the point where it breaks it up. I don't want it really raked out. The only thing that gets actually raked out might be my walkways. Come spring, I come back in, and you can use, if your ground is not thoroughly broke up, you can use your fork, or even down in Florida, I use a hay fork. Do that for a reason, that the microorganisms that you're creating and you want in your soil, you can destroy them by pulverizing them with a tiller. Now, that's something you don't hear too much of. Everybody tills. When it comes spring, they till. But it can be done. You can get your compost into the ground in the fall. It's got a whole season, a whole winter long to sit in there and rot. And come spring, you can plant your plants.
Mm-hmm.
But,
sounds like a good tip.
I did promise you one of the Roselli's, and I've got it. They did come up, and, of course, they're a slow grower, but, that Roselli, when I told you about it, it is a Florida plant, can be grown up here as an annual, and the leaves and everything on it fights against high blood pressure. It will lower your blood pressure to the point where if you're on blood pressure medicine and you drink the tea off of this plant, that it can lower you too much, so you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So, another little tidbit of information.
Yeah.
How's all your plants? I heard you say they were small.
Yeah, they're fairly small. I had a few tomato plants that got a little sickly, and a few that didn't make it. I think that's to be expected, but they aren't very big, but most of them are healthy. I've lost maybe a dozen of them. My pepper plants, for reasons unknown, they all the ones that I transplanted into the 3-inch pots are doing fantastic. They look good. They are deep green. They are healthy. So all my peppers are off to a great start. They're all out on the patio now. I've got a screened in patio that gets a limited amount of sun. I put them where they get an hour or two of direct sun, and the rest is diffuse sun. So they are out hardening right now. There really doesn't, even though we're probably safe from frost right now, I don't feel that there needs to be any rush to get them out in the buckets, just simply because they aren't that big yet, and they could probably use a little bit more hardening. But we're off to a good start. Now you grew some of those Ivarsky seeds, didn't you?
Yes.
How are those looking?
Well, I'll tell you, I was worried about them for a while. They're about, probably close to a foot tall.
Okay.
I was a little worried about it. I had them in pretty good sized pots, because the leaves were kind of a little bit on the droop side.
Uh-huh.
And the coloring didn't look right. But the minute that it hit the garden, holy moly.
Mm-hmm. Took off, huh?
I mean, they all perked up and came alive, and I think a lot of it, I had some problems earlier in the planting season with potting soil. We're not getting good potting soil. This is not what I call soil. This is more or less like, ground up bark and that kind of stuff. And matter of fact, one bag of dirt that I brought in also brought those little tiny flies with it. And I that concerned me there for a couple of weeks, and I knocked them out with a organicide. Organicide is an organic insect killer, so it does work. I'm surprised, but now after everything hit the dirt, and some of the plants were pretty tiny. But when they hit that dirt, look out now, here they go.
even this early, huh? Well, we have had a nice, warm, sunny week, so ideal for it.
And the only reason I figured I'd get more criticism about planting the beans, this is really early for the beans. But then if you look at the propagation time on your packets, it'll tell you how many days it'll take before that plant's going to come up out of the ground. And it's like 8 days. So add 8 days onto this week, and where are we at? We're right in. We're in the season now to where we don't have to worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to be – I think it's a great – I'm sorry?
I was going to say the frost-free date is the 15th, but there's nothing in the weather forecast for the next week that indicates that it's going to even get close to freezing, and a week from now we should be in the clear.
Yeah, absolutely. I planted them yesterday, and I'm not worried too much about it, but then again, I've got netting and I got plastic and buckets and all kinds of stuff to cover this stuff up if I have to, but I do not suspect it. All indications is telling me that it's going to be an early spring, and I think it's going to be a hot summer. Anyway, unless there's any other questions, I just happened to chirp in on when they was talking about some of the old things that the old farmers used to do with the coffee grounds and things. And there's very little things that you don't put on compost. Some people will argue that you can put bones on the compost, and I disagree with that, because that'll bring in wild critters.
And as Brenda pointed out, the eggshells take a little while to break down, and probably the bones do as well if the critters don't get to them first.
Right. But as far as table scraps, that was taboo growing up. If you started throwing lettuce or anything in the trash, Dad would have went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was always a separate can out back by the porch, and that's where all your scraps went to. It went in that can, and then he'd take it down, dump her in the compost pile. But they'd be composting partially before they even reached there sometimes. But growing up, that was just some of the secrets. But if I can be of help in any other way, I certainly will help. But everything is growing really, really well. Peas are up and running, of course. I did hear you talk about how hard it was to get them to grow on trellis.
I haven't done that before. I did try on a tomato cage once, but Brenda had some experience with it, and she said it really wasn't difficult at all.
They'll grow straight up once you get them started. There's not too much to peas, other than there's one little tip that I can give you. If you read the packets, I don't know what they, I think it might be like 3 inches you should be apart with your seeds. That's not true. There's an old saying that if you're stingy with your seed, then you don't get the crop. And that's the way it is with peas. Peas like to to be close together. They use each other as a trellis, and then and they will climb, and you'll get a bumper crop that'll just it'll just cover the fence or whatever you got it on. Last year, what was odd about Florida planting is I planted peas first thing when I got there, and I also planted beans. And it's the first time in my life that we harvested the beans before we harvested the peas. I couldn't believe that. I purposely took a shady area for the peas because I didn't want them to burn out. But evidently it slowed them down enough that the beans caught up. I had pole beans. I was picking pole beans when peas were, they weren't hardly doing anything. I picked beans before I did the peas. But, and actually when you, with you with container gardening, it's like up on my compost pile this year, I'm going to try it here. My compost pile is built up with cement block to wall it in. In the tops of the cement block, I'm filling them with compost and dirt. And this year I will be, I've planted pole beans inside the block. So it's, the wall will actually be like a double use, you know, increase the garden space, with an extra row of pole beans. You can, down in Florida, I grew the beans and the peas both in cement block walls. So, a little something, if somebody wanted to wall around the garden or do, you know, if they had a little wall like that, you can plant inside them. And, I don't know whether it's the calcium that's in the block, but I'm certain it would help, you know. But, I also mentioned about the Tums, and it doesn't have to be Tums, an antacid, I do stand corrected, it was, it's 1,000 milligrams of calcium. Drop those around the bottom of your tomato plant, and when they dissolve, drop a few more around there, and they'll get all the calcium they need, and the blossoms will stay on. Okay.
All right. Good tips.
All right. I'm going to get out of here.
Well, thank you for calling, and looking forward to hear how those pepper seeds do. You, the ones I gave you are they're from the peppers that I grew last year, so they're second generation. They're my generation, so I hope they turn out as good as the ones did last year. It is 10:23. We do have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock. If you want to talk about gardening or sports or the weather or travel or movies or music. It is Friday, and that's what Fridays are for. We'll be back right after these words.
The West Lafayette Branch Library is inviting youth from grades 3 to 12 to tween and teen time at the branch on the third Thursday of each month. Tweens and teens can meet up with friends, play games, make art, and enjoy snacks and pop. The next event will be held on Thursday, May 19th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Please register at coshoctonlibrary.org or by calling 740-545-6672.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Only Best Heating and Air can give you authentic Lennox quality and service for your home's heating and cooling needs. They're the people you know and trust right in our community. With regular annual maintenance from Best Heating and Air, you can keep your air perfect year-round and your home's heating and cooling system running at peak performance. Think Best Heating and Air to keep your system running perfectly season after season. Call 740-545-9400 today or visit online at www.bestheatingandac.com to schedule an appointment today. Dealer license number 30482.
The reasons to treat yourself to a frozen drink from McDonald's go on and on. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Cool off with the delicious new Tropical Mango Slushie. Or try a frozen Coke, frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry, or a Minute Maid Strawberry Watermelon Slushie. Now that's a refreshing way to treat yourself. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's, Coca-Cola is a registered trademark of the Coca-Cola Company.
At Papa John's Pizza, get a large specialty pizza for just $15, carry out or delivery. To order, call 740-623-8483 or order online at pjz.com. And remember, Papa John's new location, 439 Cambridge Road. This look at the weather is brought to you by Clean Right.
Dynamite Carpet Cleaners. Before you even think about renting one of those disgusting dirty machines, call someone who will do it the right way. Stacy Young with CleanRite Carpet Cleaners has over 30 years of experience. CleanRite Carpet Cleaners. It's not the only way, but it's the right way. For a free estimate, call 740-622-8392.
Mostly sunny today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, mainly clear and warm with highs in the lower 60s. And tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the morning. Then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 60%. And we had a beautiful week with warm temperatures and lots of sunshine, and the grass is growing like crazy, but it looks like the weather forecast will be quite a wet one, albeit rather warm. So those that work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday had to look out the window all week and see the beautiful weather, and well, it looks like we're going to get some rain and clouds this weekend. But nevertheless, this has been a gorgeous week. Lifts the spirits, getting outside and driving around and seeing all these spring colors and the leaves starting on the trees and the flowering trees and landscapes. So give me a call. We can talk about gardening or the weather or whatever else is on your mind. We can talk about movies or music if you would like, or we can chat about something completely different. Sports, baseball, the Cleveland Guardians. Phone lines are open. I'd like to hear from you. Well, let's see what happened on this date back through history while you are dialing. This is Friday, May the 13th. Oh, it's Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious? And I like to think I'm not superstitious. Maybe the Friday the 13th doesn't bother me at all. But the more I think about it, I think all of us have certain superstitions, things that we just don't do. Superstitions to me oftentimes is seeing, finding cause and effect when it just isn't there. I don't think that there's any statistics to support the notion that more bad things happen on Friday the 13th, but some do. That doesn't mean it was because it was Friday the 13th, though, or that a black cat crossed your path, or you walked under a ladder. So what are your thoughts on Friday the 13th? What's the fear of it called? Triskaidekaphobia or something like that? Am I close? The phone lines are open. Today's highlight in history, on May the 13th, 1981, Pope John Paul II was shot and seriously wounded in St. Peter's Square by Turkish assailant Mehmet Ali Agca. On this date in 1607, English colonists arrived by ship at the site of what became the Jamestown settlement in Virginia. The colonists went ashore the next day. On this date in 1914, heavyweight boxing champion Joe Louis was born in Lafayette, Alabama. On this date in 1917, three shepherd children reported seeing a vision of the Virgin Mary near Fatima, Portugal. It was the first of six apparitions that the children claimed to have witnessed. In 1940, in his first speech as British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill told Parliament, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." In 1972, 118 people died after a fire broke out in the Senechi department store in Osaka, Japan. In 1973, in tennis' first so-called Battle of the Sexes, Bobby Riggs defeated Margaret Court 6-2, 6-1 in Ramona, California. You don't hear quite so much about that match, do we? Billie Jean King soundly defeated Riggs at the Houston Astrodome in September. On this date, in 1985, a confrontation between Philadelphia authorities and the radical group MOVE ended as police dropped a bomb onto the group's row house, igniting a fire that killed 11 people and destroyed 61 homes. In 1994, President Bill Clinton nominated Federal Appeals Judge Stephen G. Breyer to the U.S. Supreme Court to replace retiring Justice Harry A. Blackmun. Breyer went on to win Senate confirmation. On this date in 2002, President George W. Bush announced that he and Russian President Vladimir Putin would sign a treaty to shrink their country's nuclear arsenals by two-thirds. In 2016, the Obama administration issued a directive requiring public schools to permit transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their chosen gender identity. On this date in 2019, Doris Day, the sunny blonde film star and singer who appeared in comedic roles opposite Rock Hudson and Cary Grant in the 1950s and 1960s, died at her California home at age 97. In 2020, the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down Governor Tony Evers' coronavirus stay-at-home order, ruling that his administration had overstepped its authority by extending the order for another month. 10 years ago, the mutilated bodies of 69 people were found near Monterrey, Mexico, apparent victims of a drug cartel. Donald Duck Dunn, 70, the bassist who helped create the gritty Memphis soul sound at Stax Records in the 1960s and part of the legendary group Booker T and the MGs, died in Tokyo while on tour. 5 years ago, Donald Trump used his first commencement address as president to urge graduates of Liberty University, a Christian school in Lynchburg, Virginia, to follow their convictions, prepare to face criticism, and relish the opportunity to be a, quote, outsider. Pope Francis, during a mass in Fatima, Portugal, added two shepherd children to a roster of Catholic saints honoring siblings Francisco and Jacinta Marto, who reported visions of the Virgin Mary 100 years earlier. 1 year ago, Israel said it was massing troops along the Gaza frontier and calling up 9,000 reservists ahead of a possible ground invasion at the Hamas-ruled territory. Communal violence in Israel erupted for a fourth night when Jewish and Arab mobs clashing in the flashpoint town of Lod. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention eased mask-wearing guidance for fully vaccinated people, allowing them to stop wearing masks outdoors in crowds and in most indoor settings. Prosecutors said an active-duty Marine Corps officer who was seen on camera scuffling with a police officer and helping other members of a pro-Trump mob force their way into the Capitol on January 6th had been charged in the riot. Major Christopher Warnegers was the first active-duty member to be charged in the insurrection. Today's birthdays: actor Buck Taylor is 84, actor Harvey Keitel is 83, author Charles Baxter is 75, actor Zoe Wanamaker is 74, singer Stevie Wonder is 72, former Ohio Governor John Kasich is 70, actor Leslie Winston is 66, producer-writer Alan Ball is 65, Basketball Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman is 61. Late Show host Stephen Colbert turns 58 today. Phone lines are open, by the way. Rock musician Joan Richardson is 58. Actor Tom Verica turns 58. Singer Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish fame turns 56. And after Hootie, Darius went on to a successful country music career. Actor Susan Floyd turns 54. Actor Brian Garrity is 47. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas turns 45. Former NBA player Mike Bibby is 44. Rock musician Mickey Madden of Maroon 5 turns 43. Actor, writer, director Lena Dunham turns 36. Actor Robert Pattinson is 36 years old today. Actor Candace Akola King is 35. Actor Hunter Parrish is 35 years old today. NHL defenseman P.K. Subban turns 34, and actor Debbie Ryan is 29. Right now it is 76 degrees in Koshonkin. It is warming up nicely and warming up quickly. We expect to top out in the lower 80s today. All the phone lines are dark. It is Friday, so if you do want to talk about gardening or the weather or travel, are you planning any summer travel? I myself have none plan to have a little bit more vacation coming to me this year. Just don't know what I'm going to do with it just yet. So what about you? The phone lines are open, 740-622-1560. And throughout the last couple of weeks, so we've offered some suggestions for destinations or maybe a Saturday or Sunday afternoon drive. We had a representative from the Wilds told us all about the Wilds and all the changes and things they have added over the last several years. So we had someone from Sugar Creek talked about the tourism and things to see and do up in Sugar Creek, a little bit of history. And more recently, we had a representative from the Louisville Slugger Museum, or Louisville. Just let it flow, he said. Louisville Slugger Museum in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is a city I have explored literally most of America's largest cities, but Louisville isn't one of them. I've driven through it several times, but a lot of things to see and do in Louisville. And it's not that far from us, about approximately a five-hour drive from us. So not that close, but not that far as well. You can make a weekend of it if you choose to do so. So we can chat about that, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. I need somebody to talk to. Give me a call right now.
Hi, I'm Lana Clausen, a farmer in Satanta, Kansas. The agriculture industry has come a long way. Advancements in science and technology have transformed the sector, creating new job opportunities and a demand for highly skilled workers. I am proud to support the next generation of ag leaders through the America's Farmers Grow Ag Leaders program, sponsored by the Monsanto Fund. Each year, farmers can help local students by endorsing them for a $1,500 Grow Ag Leader Scholarship. The scholarship allows students to pursue their dreams of studying an agriculture-related field. Each year, the program provides more than $500,000 to students enrolling in trade schools and at 2- and 4-year colleges and universities. A variety of fields are eligible, including farming, education, agronomy, engineering, mathematics, data science, communications, and many more. I encourage high school seniors and college students to apply today by visiting growagleaders.com. FFA membership is not required.
Soybean cyst nematode are gaining ground throughout Ohio. In this best of Voice of Soy, brought to you by Ohio soybean farmers and their checkoff dollars, Horacio Lopez-Nicora with Ohio State University shares how checkoff investments are helping farmers tackle these yield-robbing pests.
First of all, to detect if they have soybean cyst nematode. If they do, then the next question is, well, how much do I have? The results that the growers will receive will be a table indicating the numbers of soybean cyst nematode per 100 cc of soil and what the number means. More than 60% of these fields tested positive for the presence of soybean cyst nematode. However, if we grab these numbers that are very alarming, then we realize that the majority of these samples really have levels that are very low and will not cause significant yield reduction if we do take a management approach.
For more Voice of Soy programs, visit brownfieldagnews.com.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Are you confused about the differences between independent living, assisted living, residential care, and nursing homes? The Dr. Donald E. Potts Foundation can help you determine the proper level of care for your loved one. Contact Derek Potts at 740-294-3072 to arrange a complimentary consultation.
Mostly sunny skies today, warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, mainly clear, warm with lows in the lower 60s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers in the morning, then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 60%. Currently it is 76 degrees in Coshocton, and this is getting serious. I've already had my call this hour, so my 28-year streak of never going an entire hour without a phone call is still intact. But we've just had one, and it's Friday, so let me know what's on your mind. If you do want to talk about some local history, we can do that, 740-622-1560. We had a caller yesterday, and it's a serious topic, but talking about a building that is being torn down, but had family that lived there. When we lose a building that you worked in or that you lived in, there is a sentimental attachment to it. My childhood home burned down several years ago, and the building where my dad worked burned down, and many of us mourned when Bando's was torn down. So give me a call. We can chat about that if you would like, some of the buildings and architecture that no longer here. And I don't think we have any of those canal-era buildings. Help me out. Canal-era commercial buildings on this side of the river, the Coshocton side of the river anymore. Of course, Roscoe Village, very well preserved. So there's something that we can chat about between now and 11. Story here along the lines of gardening, which I find fascinating. Most folks pick up their potting soil from a local nursery or a big box store. A group of scientists has found success using soil from an out-of-this-world source, the moon. For the first time, scientists have been able to grow plants on moon soil. The soil was brought back to Earth by NASA's Apollo astronauts. Researchers said they had no idea anything would grow in moon dirt, and when the soil sprouted fail cress, I don't know what that is, they were stunned. The University of Florida, Robert Furl, exclaimed, "Holy cow, plants actually grow in lunar stuff. Are you kidding me?" That was the response of a distinguished scientist. So I find that kind of surprising myself. I'd like to know a little bit more. Did they put any fertilizer in there? It just seems to me that soil that when we plant our gardens, the soil that we plant in or potting soil, it's all part of the circle of life. It's got certainly sand and clay and earth in it, but also nutrients from decaying plant life from the past. There's got to be no decaying plant life on the moon, but yet scientists were able to grow plants from moon soil. So the implications are there that there's a place you can grow a garden if we indeed colonize the moon in the future. If we, we're in the infancy of space exploration, but do you think 100 years or 200 years from now or 500 or 1,000 that human beings from planet Earth will branch out and colonize other parts of the solar system or the galaxy? Give me a call and let me know. And these are the kind of things that I think about and talk about when I'm not getting any phone calls. So give me a call, even if you just want to talk about the weather or sports or local history and buildings that are no longer here in Ohio. If you're interested in local history, a fun way to explore it is to go to eBay and type in the word Coshocton on eBay. And a number of things that that could come up, but the two most common things that come up when you type in Coshocton on eBay is Coshocton Flint. The flint that we have around here is well known among scientists and collectors of Native American points. So you will find lots of that, arrowheads. And the second thing that commonly pops up is postcards. And you can look at these postcards on eBay and take a look at some of the buildings that were no longer here. I've got a file on my computer at home. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but I actually went to eBay and downloaded the photos of these postcards of buildings and scenes that are no longer here in Coshocton or Coshocton County or that have changed dramatically since then. So give me a call. I need somebody to chat with between now and 11 o'clock this morning. We'll be right back.
Introducing Beat the Stigma, Ohio's newest game show, where contestants go head-to-head to uncover the underlying causes of addiction. Did you know many of the contributing factors of addiction are beyond your control? Genetics can be responsible for 50% of your risk for addiction. Addiction is not a decision. It's a disease, and it's treatable. Can you beat the stigma? Challenge what you know about addiction at beatthestigma.org.
Summer barbecues in the backyard, game nights, first holiday party. It all happens at home. And we want to help you realize your dream of home ownership. We are the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. And if you're ready to buy a home, we may be able to help. Visit myohiohome.org for more information on down payment assistance, lower interest rates, and more. OFA makes purchasing a home more affordable. Visit myohiohome.org. Home ownership. Make it a part of your future.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier hound chihuahua looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle, simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This look at the weather is brought to you by 26 Truck Repair. 26 Truck Repair offers a full-service diesel repair shop. They also carry Interstate batteries, Fleet Guard filters, hydraulic hoses, and many other parts. Call 26 Truck Repair at 740-202-2350 to schedule an appointment.
Mostly sunny skies today, warm with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, mainly clear, warm with lows in the lower 60s. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers in the morning, then showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s, chance of rain is 60%. Currently in Coshocton, it is 76 degrees. And we do have a caller waiting. We'll get to you in just a few seconds here, but one more thing that maybe we can talk about. Browns fans or NFL fans, the NFL released its schedule yesterday, and the Los Angeles Rams will open the upcoming NFL season against the Buffalo Bills. So the first game of the season, that'll be September the 8th, and the NFL gave the defending Super Bowl champs what has become a tradition, a traditional honor of hosting the first game. The AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals, they will begin their season at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers on September the 11th. So the Bengals-Steelers' first game of the year will be against each other. As for the Browns, well, they will kick off September the 11th in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers. And so it'll be the Browns versus the Panthers to kick off the Browns NFL season. Running down the rest of the Browns schedule, week two, September the 18th, they will host the New York Jets. Week three, they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that'll be a Thursday night game. Week four, it'll be Atlanta at Atlanta. Week five, they host the Los Angeles Chargers. Week six, they host the Patriots. Week seven, they're at Baltimore. And week eight, a Monday night football game, and the Browns' only Monday night game of the season. That'll be October the 31st versus the Cincinnati Bengals. The Browns' bye week is week nine. Then they're at Miami, at Buffalo, at home against Tampa Bay, at Houston, at Cincinnati, at home against Baltimore, at home against the Saints. Then they are at Washington. And then the final game of the regular season, week 18, January the 7th or 8th, that will be on the road at Pittsburgh. So that's the Browns season. So one Thursday night game and one Monday night game for the Browns. Okay, 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Let's take another phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mike.
You felt sorry for me?
Yes, I did. And then I thought, you said you had some time left for vacation. You got a cruise in mind yet?
No cruise just yet. So I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Plenty of time to think about it. What I don't want to do, that I've done in the past, is hem-haul around, not make any plans, and I just have to use it up by the end of the year and not do anything. So I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen this year, but I don't have any concrete plans or even any real working ideas at this point. But I'll do something. There's still a lot of unknowns out there, and I know I'm not the only one. COVID is still out there, and we've got our fingers crossed, knocking on wood, that we're on the tail end of it, but other parts of the world are still dealing with it. We've had some hot spots here in the U.S., so you've got that. We've got issues with the airlines canceling flights and the costs of gasoline and lodging, and there are just too many variables right now, so I don't have any immediate plans, but I will do something before all is said and done.
Well, the reason I saw this commercial, and I am so naive when it comes to anything anyway, and they have adult cruises. Adult ones?
Yes.
That means no kids aboard, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you already knew that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All the cruises I've been on have had kids, although the last one that I took, it was transatlantic. It started in Barcelona and had a few European stops, 5 days across the Atlantic, and then a few days in the Caribbean. So it was unique. I noticed kids on it, but there weren't that many. The one that I took in Alaska, same thing. There were kids on it. The other two that I have taken, both in the Caribbean, though, especially the first one, had lots of kids on it. And, you know, when I travel with my kids, that's one thing, but when I don't have kids and trying to enjoy things as a grown-up, it can be irritating to have a bunch of kids running around in close quarters.
Yeah, I know that's even bad in a store when you go in and you hear the kids start screaming, "Mom, take him out. Get it out of here."
The thing that bugged me the most was at the buffet, trying to get your load up your plate, and the kids come darting in and out. That happened more than once, especially on the first cruise that I took. And I think it was over Thanksgiving holiday that a lot of kids were out of school. It was primarily Americans that were aboard that ship. So sometimes more than others, and some ships more than others, you see more kids. I mean, Disney, they have their own cruise line, so they would tend to cater more to families than some of the others. But there are cruises that they don't want any kids on.
Yeah, well, you just brought up another subject, too, the Disney now. They're putting that Disney production stuff down now because the way they're going, it isn't like the old Disney movies and everything. They're going away, you know, more adult stuff and things going on, and they're not too happy with that. I don't know who's unhappy about it. I mean, I don't like to see Disney change to, you know, stuff that your kid can't watch and everything, but apparently that's the way money goes. I mean, you know, that's what they're going to do. But on the cruise, then, if it's an adult, is it, what exactly does that mean? I mean, are there, like, more things on that ship for people to do? What? I don't know anything about this stuff.
Well, the cruises on the ship themselves, they have activities. They have shows. They have activities. And you know, I've never been on a Disney cruise, but it would seem that they would plan things and have options available where families can do together. The last ship that I was on, it was the Norwegian Epic. That's the one that crossed the Atlantic. They had lots of water slides on top of it, and several cruise ships. That's not uncommon for a cruise ship. I've been on one that had basketball courts. There's one that has a go-kart track on it, on top of a ship. So they can tailor their, you know, add things to the ship and tailor their
the
activities to their anticipated audiences.
Yes. Well, this is it. When I think adult, I don't think just the R-rated. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what that necessarily means. I'm sure you could find...
Oh, well, see, that's what my mind is saying, though, when I see this.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I just take that as meaning, having been on the cruise ships with a bunch of kids darting in and out and at the pool and kids all around, it is close quarters. It is, you got thousands of people that are packed on a ship, and there are big ships, but when you have so many people there, it's hard to find some privacy, and other people's kids can be irritating, and I'm sure that there are folks that that would jump at the opportunity to be able to take a cruise where that wasn't and I don't want to sound like I hate kids, but
I know
it's more relaxing.
Yes.
If it's for older couples or for singles, oftentimes it would be older folks that would take cruises like that without kids running around. I don't know. Maybe there are some cruises that
I don't know. I'm very naive when it comes
with,
to stuff like
nude
that.
Lounging around the pool or something like that. But I don't think that's what it means when it's an adult.
Well, I look at some of the commercials that go with some of these things, and people don't have too many clothes on. Maybe they have nudist ships too. I don't know. Do they cruise?
Well, I can say this, that there are, and I've never taken a cruise like this, but there are a lot of cruises that are 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, very short cruises that cruise out of Miami and Fort Lauderdale, and I'm sure other places as well, that are party cruises, that you get a lot of young folks. They tend to be a little bit cheaper. The idea is to get on the boat and drink for 2 or 3 days and whoop it up. And I would suspect some of those could get a little wild and maybe even a little racy. But, like I said, I've been on cruises that have family. The clientele does tend to be an older crowd than in general than what you would see in other places. So,
do you think you'd go on one of the rowdy cruises?
No, I'm too old for that.
I
can whoop it up with the best of them, but I don't think I would want to do it on a cruise ship with a bunch of 20-somethings.
Now, you'll be, 60 next year, correct?
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. I'll be,
that's
actually right. I'm going to be 59 this year and 60 next year.
Yes, well, after 60, who cares?
Well, I have a lot of friends. Several friends that we all turn 60. We all celebrate our birthdays within just a couple of months of each other. We had a fantastic time. We traveled together when we turned 50, and we're in the preliminary stages of making some arrangements for when we turn 60.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to do next year, but I do know that it will likely be with a group of friends so we can celebrate our milestone together.
Sounds great. It really does.
Yeah.
Keep your friends all those years.
That's right.
So, well, have a wonderful day, Mike.
Well, you do the same. Good to hear from you, and thanks for calling here towards the end of our program. I'll be back one more time right after this.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service 24 hours a day at 622-0194. Our Memorial Day sale is going on the whole month of May with $2,500 minimum for your trade-in only at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
We all have 206 things in common. Our bones keep us up and moving. And Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital orthopedic specialists care about every single one of them. From the tip of your finger to a brand new hip, our orthopedic experts will keep you moving. For every bone and every breakthrough, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital. Don't delay. Visit unionhospital.org/ortho.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Hi, Bob here from Plus One Pizza asking, when was the last time you had a really great pizza? Our new pizza is better than ever. Order one tonight online or call 622-9300. At Plus One Pizza, you'll love it, we guarantee it, or your money back. It's that good.
This look at the weather is brought to you by 26 Truck Repair. 26 Truck Repair offers a full-service diesel repair shop. They also carry Interstate batteries, Fleet Guard filters, hydraulic hoses, and many other parts. Call 26 Truck Repair at 740-202-2350 to schedule an appointment.
Mostly sunny today and warm with highs in the lower 80s for tonight, to mainly clear. Warm with lows in the lower 60s, and for tomorrow, partly cloudy. Slight chance of showers in the morning, and showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Warm with highs in the lower 80s. Chance of rain is 60%. Currently, it is 76 degrees in Coshocton, and thanks to the Master Gardeners for joining us, David Marison, Gail Piper, and Brenda Junkin. Always enjoyable. And thanks to our last caller for reminding me just how close I am to age 60.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS FM 99.3 or online at mywtnsradio.com.